Welcome. This is Benefit from the Bible, the preaching and teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church. May God enable you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, when a person is on the alert, what does that mean? That means he is prepared and he is paying attention. Prepared and paying attention, that's what Jesus wants for us. Let me give you an example. If a person is on the alert in regard to becoming sick, what might that person be doing? That person might be eating healthy, exercising, getting enough rest, taking vitamins, and ready to call his doctor if he starts to feel sick and needs some additional help. So that person is prepared, that person is paying attention to what's going on within his body. When we think about physical health, we don't know if we're going to become sick or not. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. I'm so thankful that God has blessed all of us here today with good health. However, though, when we think about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to wonder if that will happen or not. We know that certainly he will return. So let us be on the alert for his return. What does that mean? We should be prepared. We should be paying attention. In today's gospel reading from Mark chapter 13, we're going to pick up in verse 24. In that reading, Jesus is going to inform us about his coming, and he's also going to give us some encouragement about it. The news is not good news for those who don't know him, but there is good news for us who do know him. Getting right into the text here, it's going to be somewhat terrifying at the very moment he comes. This is what Jesus said. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Let's think a little bit about that for a moment. Jesus talked about tribulation. What did he say there? After that tribulation. What is tribulation? Tribulation is trouble and distress. If you take a look earlier on in Mark chapter 13, I didn't read that today, but earlier on though, Jesus told us about tribulation. He said that some men will appear and they will falsely claim to be me. He also said there would be wars, there would be earthquakes, and there would be famines. He also said believers are going to be hated and they're going to be betrayed. All of that is tribulation. If we think about it, all those different things have been taking place for a long time and they are continuing even today. Those kinds of things should put us on the alert. Oh, we just heard about a big earthquake in some other country. Oh yeah, that's right. Jesus said that such things would happen. That would be a reminder to us that he is coming. So all those things are not for us to be fearful of, but those are reminders of the fact that though it's been quite a while now since he said he would come, he definitely is coming, and it is so important for us to be on the alert. It's important for us to be ready. Also, too, thinking about what Jesus said there in the section I read so far, we live in a very orderly world, don't we? Maybe not on planet Earth, it's maybe disorder, but when we think about the solar system that we are located in, or the galaxy, or the universe, everything is in perfect order. However, though, what did Jesus say? The Bible says there that just before his coming, we think about the sun and the moon, normally so bright. The sun so bright during the day, and even the moon, if it's at nighttime, the moon itself is even bright as it reflects the sun. So bright, and yet, all of a sudden, they're going to stop shining. Sometimes when I'm working at home in the afternoon, on that side of the house, the sun can be coming in the window so hard, I have to close the blinds, it's so bright. I try to put myself into this position and think, what if I'm working there and it's so bright and all of a sudden, just like that, it's complete darkness? Wouldn't that be startling? Hopefully what God would do is direct my mind right to this text and I would say, thank you, Jesus, you are here and everything is great. But for people who don't know this, for people who are not ready, they're going to be terrified at his coming. Also, too, think about how with all the various planets and the stars in our galaxy, we could look up at the night sky and see them, and everything is so fixed. But he said, though, when he's coming, they're going to fall from the sky. How terrifying will that be? But again, though, when that happens, if we see it happening, we don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid at all. For other people, though, who don't know the Bible, who do not believe in Jesus, who are not repentant, they won't understand. They will be terrified, and there will be no opportunity for them to repent. That window will have closed. It will be the saddest thing. God wants us to know that now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow could be too late. And then thinking about Jesus coming and thinking about the gathering of the elect. And then he will send forth the holy angels and will gather together God's elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven. So the Bible makes it very clear regarding what we call sometimes the order of salvation. We find it in Romans chapter 8, verse 30. So we have four key things going on there. It says that before time, God predestines us. In time, God calls us and justifies us. And in eternity, God will glorify us. So what Jesus is saying is that the ones that God the Father chose, even before the creation of the world, when he comes, the holy angels are going to go forth and gather up those particular people. They're going to be gathered up who are living on earth, and the ones who are already in heaven, they're going to be gathered up too. We're going to be all together, as other places in the Bible talk about that reality. But even in between, though, in our lifetimes, God has called us by the gospel. He has clothed us with Christ in holy baptism. So he has justified us in Christ. Though we are sinners, we are holy in the sight of God. Not because we are good people, we are holy because we have that God-given faith in Jesus. And then it says that God is going to glorify us. What does that mean that he's going to glorify us? That means that God is going to give us a very high status. For all of us, we have sinned, and we deserve a very low status, but God is so good to us, he's going to elevate us to a very high status for all eternity. We are his holy children, and right now, the world might not think much of that. The world isn't impressed that we are forgiven in Christ, but when we are with God forever, we are going to be so, so blessed. We have so much to look forward to in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the third part here. We come now to our awareness of Jesus' return. Jesus is going to talk about how when we look outside, we can tell that spring is coming. So there are certain reminders we have that Jesus is coming. He said, "Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door." So right now outside, the branches seem pretty stiff and brittle, and we might think, are they dead even? But we know, though, in the springtime, they will become softer. We're going to see the buds appear on the branches, and we know that soon the buds, in some cases, will become flowers, and then eventually we will see leaves and so on, so we can tell just by looking outside that spring is near. I'm ready for spring already. How about you guys? It's not even winter yet, but I'm ready for spring. Well, anyway, what did Jesus mean when he said, when you see these things happening? Well, that takes us right back to what I've already said. In other words, when we see men claiming to be the Christ, when we hear of wars and earthquakes and famines, and when believers are hated and being betrayed. I didn't realize it, but I was looking at something recently, and many of you know the name Charles Manson, but Charles Manson claimed to be the Christ. And there are a number of other people, David Koresh, you might remember from Texas from not that many decades ago, and a number of other people too have claimed to be the Christ. I'm not going to go into all those different things, but we certainly know that these things have been happening, are continuing to happen, and Jesus wants us to know these are reminders of his coming. Also too, it says he is right at the door. Sometimes I think it's easy for us to become complacent. So we might say, oh yes, I know you're coming, Jesus, but I think you're still a ways off yet. You're like still up there near State and Pleasant Valley. You're not here yet at the door. But what is he saying? He's saying, oh no, it's a greater urgency than that. He's saying, I'm right at the door. Imagine being home this afternoon. So you're in your home, everything is quiet, everything is peaceful. You're not even thinking about Jesus because you've been to church and now you're on to something else. Yet, what is he saying? I'm right there at the door. And all of a sudden, and you're like, who is that? And Micah says, look, it's Jesus. He's right at the door. He wants to come in. But he wants us to live like in that kind of tension, though, knowing, realizing that at any moment we're going to hear that knock and he's going to be there. So he's saying, be ready. Are we ready? How are we ready? We are ready when we know him as our Savior, when we know that we are sinners and we deserve something horrible, but yet through Jesus Christ, we know he is the Son of God. We know what he did, and we know through him, heaven is open for us. So it's about that relationship with him. Jesus mentions that a number of times. Sometimes he says, eternal life, the essence of it, is knowing God the Father and knowing his Son. And we know that in other places, Jesus says to certain people, or is going to say to certain people, I never knew you. Depart from me. He lived for us. He died for us. He loves us. He wants us to be close to him. He wants us to not only have eternal life, he wants us to know we have eternal life so that we can live in peace. We can have joy thinking about his coming. And then in verse 30, Jesus said, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So when we think about a generation, we can think about a generation maybe 20, 25 years. So we have people who are born, and when they're 20, 25 years old, they have children. And then 20, 25 years later, those children have children and so on. So generation after generation, but we know that people live for a few generations and then they die. But what is he talking about here then when he said, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place? Is there some generation of people, some group of people that are going to be living and living and living until Jesus returns? I think what he means here is he's talking about not particular people, but a particular kind of people. He's talking about a kind of people that are in opposition to God, in opposition to God's word, in opposition to God's elect. Jesus is saying, those people will always be in the world. So we're not going to come to a point where, oh, the entire world is converted to Jesus Christ and we have peace on earth. That day is not coming. We can certainly reach out to others, and we should. We should pray for world peace, but yet we should understand that's not going to happen here on planet Earth before Jesus comes. The bad news is that such people will continue until he returns, but the good news, though, is that when times are tough for us, if people hate us, if people want to betray us, what is the good news? The good news is that we have God's holy word. What a great blessing in God's holy word. God is saying to us, open it every day, think about it, I will show you what it means, and I will richly bless you. So through the word of God, God will work to assure us that we are forgiven, that we are in relationship with him, that we are ready, and then he will instruct us about how to live life here on planet Earth in the midst of the difficulties that we face day by day. When we know Jesus, it doesn't mean life will be easy, but God promises, I will be with you. I will carry you through. It's going to be okay. And in the process, he's going to use us to be a blessing to others. Let's go on to the next section here, the necessity of being prepared and paying attention. Picking up in verse 32, Jesus said, but of that day, talking about his return, but of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. So did you catch that? There is an appointed time. It's not a random kind of a thing where God is saying, well, maybe today I'll send my son back. Oh, no, not today. I'll wait till tomorrow. It's not like that. There's no indecision with the Almighty God. Think about this passage over in Acts chapter 17. This is coming right to the end there of that amazing sermon that Paul preached there in Athens. And toward the end of that sermon, Paul said, God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. So here, it talked about an appointed time. Over in Acts 17, it says that God has fixed a day. So we know that day is already set. And then an example here, Jesus is telling us kind of a picture of the situation of him being here, going back, coming again, but he gives us a little bit of a story. Jesus said, it is like a man away on a journey who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, he said, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. Jesus told us a story, but it does fit in, though, to him being here, going back to heaven, and coming again. So I put six questions there in your service folder. Let's go through those now. So who is the man who went on a journey? So that would be our Lord Jesus Christ. So he came down from heaven, put on flesh, lived for us, died for us, was raised from the dead, and then he ascended back into heaven. So he went on a journey back to heaven. He told us there in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And then number two, what did Jesus do before he left? As he said in the story there, he assigned a task to each of his followers. So there are certain things that God has for us to do. Think about what it says there in Ephesians 2. It says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has something planned for each one of us. I remember years ago in my life, I didn't know what that was. So I found out that God had a plan for me. I had no idea what it was. So I cried out to God in prayer a number of times. Dear God, I'm not quite sure what this is, but I'm asking you to show me what it might be. And God wants us to be open to that. God wants us to know that there is a plan, regardless of our age, at all the different ages of life, God has a plan for us. He wants us to seek out what that is. He wants us to follow that. So number three then, what are we supposed to be doing now in between him having left and coming again? We are to live out God's plan for our lives. It's not that complicated. Number four, this is a good one. When will Jesus return? When will Jesus return? Well, he could come at any time. So how about number five then? When should we be ready? Did he give us some kind of a situation in the Bible where he said, I'll never come between 11 o'clock at night and midnight? So you can be on the alert for 23 hours every day, but between 11 o'clock and midnight, you can just relax. I'm not coming during that hour. Is that what he said? By no means. He said, I could come at any time. It reminds me of a story from years ago. This was in a third grade classroom. Maybe you had this kind of a desk where you had your desk that you sat in every day, and then the top of it opened up and you kept all your stuff inside the desk. I know I had one of those when I went to school. So the teacher announced to the class, we're going to have a contest, and whoever has the neatest desk is going to win a prize. So this one particular little girl, she kept pestering the teacher about when the contest would take place, when she would be checking the desks. And this little girl was getting so frustrated because the teacher would not tell her when. And finally, kind of at the height of her frustration, the little girl said, well, okay then, I guess I'll just have to keep it clean. That was the only way she could win the contest. I'll just have to keep it clean. So isn't it that way, though, with the return of Jesus? We should never say, oh, I don't think he'll come now. I'm on vacation. Certainly he wouldn't come then. But he wants us to know it could be at any time. He's calling us to always, always be ready. And then the final question here, how will God keep us ready? So notice I put, how will God do it? Not how will we do it, how will God do it? Now keep in mind, when we know Jesus Christ, we are working in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. People who don't know Jesus, they don't have the Holy Spirit, but for those of us who believe, we have the Holy Spirit, and we can choose to quench the Spirit, like throw a bucket of water on the fire of the Spirit, or we can let the Spirit have his way with us. That's the better thing. So how is God going to be working? God works through his word, and he also works through the sacrament. So God is at work through the word to show us the truth, to show us that we are sinners, to make us sorry for our sins, and to keep pointing us to Jesus, assuring us that we are forgiven. And then he is instructing us on how to be his holy children in the midst of this sinful world. God is also equipping us through his word in order to reach out to others. Let me conclude my sermon today with this short little story. So we had a member years ago, and he wasn't in the best shape physically, but he functioned pretty well though. So in his own home, I probably visited him there for about 10 years, and every time I went to see him, he was in a wheelchair. But he had certain health issues, though. I mean, he was a World War II veteran and so on. And from time to time, he would become ill to the point where he had to go into the hospital, maybe for a week or so. He would get some treatment, and then he was weakened, so he would have to go into a rehab facility, maybe for a month or two, and then he'd be back home, and everything would be fine. Well, when I would hear about him being in the hospital or in the rehab facility, I would go and visit him, and he was always such a happy guy. And finally, one time he shared with me, he said, Pastor, you might think that I would complain about being in the hospital or in a care facility, but actually, the way I look at it is, I'm on a short-term mission trip. I'm on a short-term mission trip because when I go to the hospital, God has put me there to minister to the doctors and nurses who are caring for me. And then when I go on to the rehab facility, then I'm there to minister to them, even as they are ministering to me. And I was so surprised that one time, it must have been at a rehab facility, and while I was there visiting with him, some nurses came in. They were treating him like he was their own father. They were like so kind to him. Why is that though? Because he had shown so much kindness and love to them that they were being so kind to him, and he had opportunity to tell others about Jesus and all kinds of amazing things. He had it figured out though, and he functioned in a way that God used him no matter where he was, no matter what his circumstances were. So may God help all of us to do the same. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as some people in the world are probably too busy to think about you or to be on the alert, we pray that you would work in our lives. Keep us on the alert for your coming. And for those who are not ready, we pray that you would use us, even as I mentioned the gentleman in the story, use us, no matter where we are, whatever our circumstances might be, may you use us to share your truth so that the Holy Spirit might work through that truth and make an eternal difference in the lives of others. Amen. If you are searching for a church home, see our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com, and attend with us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.